You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
All right, guys, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. You're listening to episode number 26 of the Chick Whisperer program, listened to worldwide in over 150 friggin' countries. It's been a long time since we talked. I'm glad to be back in the saddle again, and I've got a great, great hostess for you today. Sitting in with me today is none other than Mirabelle Summers from Meet Your Sweet down in New Zealand. She's the author of Fireworks with Females, that you probably saw advertised a whole lot about a couple weeks ago. And she's the co-author of that with none other than my good friend, Slade Shaw. Mirabelle, how's it going?
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
Now, you guys are about ready to hit Christmas down there, and it's in the middle of summer, isn't it?
It sure is. It's pretty hot down here these days.
How does that work? How do you guys do Christmas when it's like summertime?
Well, it's actually really strange because most of us still buy into the whole, like, American Christmas thing. So there's all this fake snow all over the windows. There's, like, Santa Clauses on the street outside in these big, hairy red suits. But at the same time, you know, it's T-shirt and shorts weather and people are walking around with sweat stains under their arms and stuff. So it's kind of an interesting contrast, really.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to see Santa in his Speedos anyway.
Well, actually, we do have one of those at the mall. It's like an alternate down under Santa Claus kind of thing.
Okay. Hope he's been on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to have a great show here today because I'll tell you what. Guys, Mirabelle has written this book called Fireworks with Females, and I took a look at it, and I thought, man, you know, here we go. We've got this book about guys understanding women, and I didn't know at the time that Mirabelle had been writing so much of this book. I thought Slade had a lot to do with it. And then I found out that it was actually Mirabelle who wrote a lot of this book. And let me tell you something, guys. Not only does she write a smoking part about how to understand women, which, by the way, I agreed with 1,000%, every part of it, but she's got a pretty good handle on how we tick, too. So once I figured that out, I was on the blower, like lickety-split, and I said, okay, Mirabelle, you got to be on the show I got. And we've got to call the show the Dude Whisperer because you're pretty much the best at understanding guys I've ever seen. So, Mirabelle, Dude Whisperer, let's jump right into this. Ready?
Hit it.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to start with a voicemail. And this voicemail comes from Thomas in Houston, Texas. And he's got an issue where he listened to the last podcast we put out there with Brent Smith on giving your power away. And it looks like he's got a question that kind of follows up on that whole issue. So away we go. Here it is.
Hey, Scott. This is Thomas out of Houston, Texas. And I'm calling for the Chick Whisperer podcast. Love the show. Very informative. Thanks for that. I do have a question on relationship management, however. I've been in a relationship for 16 years. We've been married for 11 of those years. Monogamous, it's just us two. But I have committed an error that I didn't know I was committing until I started listening to your podcast. And that error is I have given up my power in this relationship. So now I'm the guy who picks up the kid, comes home, cleans, cooks, does all these things. And I'm not getting a whole lot back from the wife on that side of her relationship in so many levels, including sexually. So I think what happened is I've lost that power, I've lost that respect, and I've lost that leadership position. I'm a little bit at my wit's end, so I'd like to know what your take on the whole thing is on managing this in order to get my power back in the relationship and put me in that center focus, that leadership position, so that I can save this marriage and we can move forward as we should. So there you have it. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, Mirabelle, from a woman's perspective, what are you going to tell this guy?
Well, I'd say after being in a relationship for such a long time, it's obviously quite easy to kind of let the original spark slide if you're not putting a lot of conscious effort and actually thinking about it quite a lot. So Thomas here has been married for, I think he said 11 years, and he's obviously feeling like he's given up his power. Now, this is actually quite a counterintuitive situation, and a lot of guys that I actually work with don't even realize what's kind of going on here. They kind of think that, after they're in a relationship with a woman, they've got the commitment thing, they've got the exclusivity thing locked down. They don't really have to keep trying with the whole, you know, snappy repartee and kind of just taking care of themselves and just making sure there's a balance in the relationship. And a lot of guys are such lovely people and they're so happy to have this woman to be within their lives that they don't really realize that women actually don't want you to prostrate yourselves for them. So if we start to feel like there's not a balance anymore, and as though you're actually putting us up on a pedestal, and as though you're putting our needs before your own needs, it's kind of like the penny drops. And once we can tell that you're not respecting yourself, it's pretty much impossible to actually keep attraction going. So obviously Thomas's wife is probably feeling a little bit less than attracted to him right now. It sounds like Thomas's wife is actually pretty bitter as well, which I can fully get behind. So first of all, first thing I'd say to Thomas is put yourself first, basically. It sounds a little strange, but you've really got to take a step back in a situation like that. Stop taking care of the other person. Stop making sure that she's okay. And make sure that you're taking care of yourself first and foremost. So what that means is you stop prostrating yourself for her. Stop going out of your way. Stop doing things that are inconvenient for you. So for example, if it doesn't suit you to do the vacuuming, take care of the kids, do the dishes, do the dinner, and whatever else he's been doing all in the same day, you know, use your head and just get a bit of common sense and take care of yourself, take care of your own needs. Second of all, what you've got to do is start giving more directions. You can't just hope that she's going to pick up on what's going on here. Women want to know that you are in charge. They want to know that you're able to be the leader. And part of what that means is that if something's bothering you or something's on your mind or you want something to happen, you've really got to take control here and actually just tell her what you want her to do. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to be like an ass about it. You don't have to be rude and you don't even have to be a bully or anything like that. But if you can just say, hey, look, this is something that I've noticed that's happening here. In my head, you know, this is what's going on. And what's your take on that? And just have an adult discussion with her about it, basically. Point number three, I would say, Thomas, I think you need to maybe get more of a life of your own. Like, it sounds as though you're so fully immersed in this relationship and the marriage that you've got. You're doing so much to keep her happy and to keep the status quo balanced that ironically, the balance has now just gone right out the window. So the best thing you can do, if you start creating a life of your own that you're actually really passionate about, you know, just get out of the house, get out into the world, just start doing some things that, you know, that mean something to you, then you'll naturally find that more of a balance starts coming into your own home life. So instead of saying, for example, no, I don't think I want to cook the dinner tonight and pick up the kids because I don't think you're doing enough around the house, you can now say something like, no, you know, I've got something else on tonight. Would you mind doing that instead? And it just becomes a lot more of a natural, just more of a flow. So those are the three first points that I'd say to Thomas. Does that make sense to you, Scott?
Oh, yeah. And I agree like 5,000% with just about everything you said. And as you were talking, you know what came to mind? This could easily be something that a woman would have called in and said about what's happened to her marriage with her guy.
Absolutely. You know, I deal with this stuff so often with women. They just put everything they've got into the relationship and they literally forget to just take care of themselves. And it really shows. Like, for example, just the other day, I got an email from someone who lives in New York City. And she was talking about how she's been married to her husband for a couple of years now. And she slowly kind of let go of her friends. She let go of all the things that really mattered to her in her own life. So she stopped going to her Saturday morning yoga class. She stopped her pottery class. She even gave up her job, basically. And she said that even though her husband never actually said anything to her about it, she just noticed that he stopped smiling so much. He just seemed kind of more irritable. He was more withdrawn. And every time she asked him what the problem was, he would never tell her what it actually was, because I'm sure that he probably didn't even know, but he just would seem extremely grouchy. So after I talked to her, she started, you know, taking care of herself more, started doing more things for herself, and started developing her own individual life outside of the home. And the spark just came right back into the relationship. So that is 100% what I expect to happen for Thomas as well.
You know, it's funny you should mention that email, because that's exactly what happens when a guy is losing attraction for a woman, especially when he's in a long-term relationship. If she's kind of frumpy and she isn't looking as good to him, as I'm sure that sounds sort of surfacey, superficial to a lot of people, shallow, if you will. The truth of the matter is, if a guy is starting to lose attraction to a woman he is pretty much in a committed relationship with, he's going to get grumpy towards her. He's going to start to be angry towards her. And she's not going to know what happened. She's going to be like, well, I didn't do anything to this guy, and he's just wanting to be angry with me so often. What's the deal? Well, the deal is, almost always, she's not taking good care of herself. She's neglecting him in some way in the relationship, not giving him attention. Or she's flirting with other guys and making him feel like he's emasculated in some way. Again, the whole concept of having your power taken away from you as a guy.
It's just a downward spiral, really, because then once the whole kind of bitterness and resentment has been introduced into the relationship, usually at that point, neither of the people actually know what's going on. So that's when you get that whole kind of unspoken bitterness thing building up, and it just ends up absolutely polluting all the communication between the both of you. So that's not to say that it's not fixable, because once you've realized what's going on, take a step back and think, huh, you know, maybe I have been doing that. And it's actually quite easy to get things back on track. But awareness, you know, awareness of what's going on is absolutely necessary in a situation like that.
Yeah. Well, Thomas, man, thanks for sending us that voicemail. It was a powerful one that I think a lot of guys can relate to. And we want to take care of you, because every time one of you guys sends us a voicemail that gets used on this show, we're going to give you a prize. And Maribel, what do you got for this guy?
Well, I was actually thinking that something appropriate for Thomas here might be the book that you were just talking about before, Scott, which is called Fireworks with Females. Now, that's the book that Slade and I have actually just finished writing together, and it's somewhat of a magnum opus for the both of us, I think. There's a lot of information in there on not only how to get the groundwork sorted out, but pretty much every stage through the relationship. So to borrow a phrase from you, Scott, it's a little bit about relationship management as well, which I think is a really important thing to get your hands on. So if we can send Thomas a copy of that, I think that would be probably quite helpful for him.
Well, Thomas, that's about as good as it gets. You're getting a copy of that brand new book that's all the rage these days. And you know, Thomas, I was thinking of one more thing before we sign off on this subject. Make sure you're not rescuing her all the time. Like, if she burns a meal or two, make sure you're not saying, all right, well, from now on, I'm cooking all the dinners. And if she throws in the red socks with the whites and the laundry one day and sticks it on hot, don't say, you know what, you screwed up the laundry again. From now on, don't even touch my clothes. I'm going to do my laundry. Because the next thing you know, you're going to get in this situation like you talked about. And I'm wondering if that contributed to your situation at all. Because if we start rescuing women, we think we're in charge. We think we're the guy calling the shots. But the women just end up saying, all right, Mr. Smarty Pants, you're just going to do everything. I'm just going to sit here and let you.
Oh, absolutely.
The next thing you know, you're doing all the work. You're doing all the heavy lifting in the relationship. And you're wondering why this woman's so distant. You're wondering why she isn't contributing like you used. That was the key word I heard in that voicemail. And I just want to make sure I tossed that in there before we moved on. So let's move on. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
What do you think? You know, you were talking about women who had the same issue that Thomas just wrote in about. I think a lot of times we talk about these massive differences between men and women almost as a protection mechanism. Like, you know, we want to sort of, as guys, if we're not really succeeding with women, kind of put women into another whole level of species so that we don't feel like we've been rejected by another human being per se, but some sort of other kind of creature who we can't explain. And I think that insulates us a little bit and helps us kind of deal with the rejection. But the truth of the matter is, if we're going to man up, we have to realize that women are human beings, and men and women are a lot more like than they are different. So I'd love to hear your take, Maribel, on how you think men and women are alike and how you think they're different.
Well, that's an awesome question. And as a matter of fact, I actually completely agree with you on that. I think that a great deal of the kind of defense mechanisms we have in place is so that we're able to say to ourselves, oh, you know, that guy was just a creep. He didn't understand me for who I really am. Or if you're a guy, oh, that woman's probably just a bitch and she just wouldn't like me anyway. Rather than looking at it from an actual perspective of a human being, which is what we all are first and foremost, it's so much easier to kind of just relegate people to that little, you know, gender-specific niche, which I personally don't agree with. So first of all, you know, emotionally, I think we all definitely want the same things. We all, men and women alike, we all want a challenge, you know. We don't want someone who's just going to drop right into the palm of our hand. We all want to be cared about and respected. We all want to be with someone who respects themselves first of all, who knows how to put themselves first, and who prioritizes their own needs. So even though that sounds counterintuitive, I know, it really is pretty much one of the biggest points possible. I think we also, men and women alike, obviously want someone who takes care of themselves, who respects their body, and, you know, who we find physically attractive, because that is very important. And I also don't think, just to make a slight interjection here, there's a lot of guilt coming through from the emails and phone calls I get from men and women. Like, they all secretly want someone they find physically attractive, but it's like they've been trained as though that's a shallow thing to want. They feel bad for saying that they want someone who they find hot. I think people just need to get over that. You know, it's what we're biologically hardwired for. So just admit to yourself that you want a pretty girlfriend. You know, it's okay to do that. Now, back to the question. Obviously, there are quite a lot of differences too. For example, I'd say the sex thing is a big one. Like, guys are usually perfectly fine having sex with a woman with no emotional give and take whatsoever. But women, however much they have tried to train themselves and tell themselves that they're okay with it, they are actually not okay. So women will tell themselves, oh, it's okay if he doesn't call me again. I don't mind, because they've just, that's what they're used to. But deep down, they're not okay sleeping with a guy and then never seeing from him again. And they're not okay with being relegated to the status of booty call, you know. It's something that causes a lot of problems for a lot of women. All they're doing is just leaving themselves wide open for manipulation, or at the very least, a whole lot of personal pain and anguish. So what's your take on that, Scott?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've met a lot of women who seemed really, really sexually forward. So I think probably at the baseline, there are a lot of women who think and feel the way you do. But unfortunately, and it's almost sad, I think they tend to desensitize themselves over time, especially if they've gone through a divorce, and especially if they've let their moral guard drop a little bit after that divorce, and they're feeling kind of like they want to get back out there and maybe sow their own wild oats for a while, maybe even to get back at their ex-husband who left them or something. I've just seen a lot of women who really just want to stereotypically behave like men and want a lot of sex. But I would say for the most part, especially with younger women, I would agree with you. I think there is a huge delta there between what guys want and what guys see as the goal sexually, and what women want from their sexual relationships and how they envision that. I think it was especially poignant how you talked about women also saying, all right, well, these guys are all different and they're rejecting me, so I'm going to put them on a different plane also. Because what rung a bell with me there was saying, you know, all men are dogs, they're all the same. And now I kind of get a grasp of why women would say that. Like you said, it's a protection mechanism, kind of like what we as guys do when we're rejected by women. So I just think that's really, really powerful. But what you said that I think I resonate the most with is that we have the same emotions. We want the same things, ultimately, deep down in our soul. As far as what makes us happy, what makes us sad, what makes us angry and frustrated, I think we're so alike. So when we as guys like use women, like you were talking about, they're going to feel the same way we would if some woman used us, or some woman didn't call us anymore. We would be like, you know, what happened? There would be no closure there, which is so important to the human psyche. And when we do that to women, it's just flat out disrespectful, and we're going to reap what we sow, aren't we?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a vicious cycle when you actually think about it. There are so many books out there talking about, like, the battle between the sexes and, like, how to understand the opposite sex and all that, which obviously is going to be necessary on some level. But I think when you start making things a little bit too complex and, like, assigning all these different values and behaviors to men and women just on the basis of a few biological and, to some extent, psychological differences, I think, you know, the emotional similarities are what really accounts for a lot of our behaviors. So obviously we communicate those things differently to each other, but underneath it all, the same emotions are taking place. We're thinking the same things, we're feeling the same things, and we're wanting the same things. So I think if you can just bear that in mind, that women generally want exactly the same things as what men want, and vice versa, of course, it just makes things a lot more simple, and it's a lot easier to understand the opposite sex as well.
Yeah, you know, this whole concept of battle of the sexes, guys, and any women who are listening, the opposite gender is not the enemy. I mean, I hear all these PUA guys talking about kind of like using war terms and reading The Art of War to figure out how to go meet women. And, you know, it's just nuts. This is not someone you're going to have to, like, seduce and conquer, like they talked about in, what, the movie Magnolia, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just ridiculous to think of women as this adversary. Even though it may make us feel like, as guys, we're doing something really macho, there's a big difference between being macho and being masculine, which is something I talk about in this month's power session, by chance. But I'll tell you, as far as women and men getting along, the first thing we've got to figure out is, if we want to attract great women, we've got to be the kind of guy who respects womanhood as humanhood, most definitely. And I think you really talked about some things that are really powerful there, Maribel. And I think coming from a woman's perspective, it's really going to be powerful for a lot of guys listening to hear that. And that kind of leads me to the next question here I have for you, which I'm dying to hear your answer to, which is, what do women want, Maribel? Tell us once and for all.
As in, what do women want from guys?
Tell us, first of all, what they want in general, and then tell us what they want from us.
That's a big question. All right, I'll take a stab at it. What women want in general, I think, is actually very similar to what they want from guys, because I think from personal and professional experience, a lot of women's goals and desires are kind of directed in the personal, like emotional relationships area. They want to be approved of, which is something that all humans want, by the way, and it's okay to want that. They want to be loved. They want to feel safe, secure, you know, all that good stuff. So obviously this is a very generalized answer, but taking into account that we're all individuals and that there's no one else on the planet like every single one of us, I'm not going to get too much more specific there. But in terms of what women want from guys, I can get much more specific here. Women want, first of all, and this is something that I think you understand completely, Scott, women want a guy who knows more than anything else how to be a man. And I think this is something that guys have kind of not exactly lost touch with, but they're a bit more confused about lately. There's kind of a resurgence of the whole feminization of men and the whole metrosexual thing, yada, yada, yada. The point of being a man is absolutely incredibly important, and without it, I really don't think there can ever be a lot of sexual chemistry or even trust between a man and a woman. And what I mean by that is that women want a guy who is not always looking to them for confirmation that they're doing the right thing. They want a guy who is not always going to be waiting for an okay before he even leans in to kiss her, you know? Like, one time for me, I had a guy ask me if he could kiss me, and it completely destroyed the moment. But not only that, it also destroyed my attraction to him, you know? I went from head over heels crazy about this guy to completely neutral and even slightly contemptuous in the space of time it took him to ask that question. And the reason for that is quite simple. He was trying to make me wear the pants. He wanted me to play the man's role. He wanted me to tell him that everything was okay, he was doing the right thing, you know, that he's kind of safe and secure, basically. And women, I think I'd go so far as to say all women do not like that in a guy. Second of all, we really just want a guy who's happy in himself, you know, preferably someone who's enjoying his life and someone who's having a great time with or without a woman in it. Now, obviously, most guys want to have women in their lives, and that's fine, but there's a big difference between wanting and needing. So obviously, this doesn't necessarily apply once you've actually got a serious commitment going on, but in the first couple of months or so, like before things get really heavy and before commitment is even on the cards, I can think of a few things that are less enticing than a man who is just too available. You know, clinginess is really terrifying, because when it happens to you, it's as if you had this truckload of emotional obligation and responsibility dumped in your lap, and it absolutely smothers the opportunity to actually feel anything for anyone. So yeah, take care of yourself and get busy, apart from having a woman in your life. Mm. And point three, and this is my last point, really important, a really top quality woman is going to want a guy who's able to really be authentic. And what I mean by that is that he's not out there relying on some precisely engineered pickup routine in order to interest her in the first place. Now, it's been my experience that a lot of guys out there are involved in the pickup scene, and they have this idea that if they deviate from the material that they've learned even slightly, then that's going to throw a bag of sand into the machine and completely gum up the works. So if I can just take a quick step back here and explain something, I'm really not dissing the pickup scene itself, because I actually think there's a lot of valuable stuff to be learned there. But I do think that a lot of guys end up taking it too far, and they wind up afraid to actually deviate from what they now think of as the norm. So the problem with that is that once you actually get a woman who's interested in you by you using those techniques and that material, you're eventually going to come to the place where you've run out of stuff to say, and you're literally forced to just, quote unquote, be yourself. So if the you that you actually are differs greatly from the you that you are when you've got that social pickup artist mask on, then I think most women are really going to smell a rat, and it's a major turnoff. So authenticity is really the key. You've got to learn how to be the best guy you can possibly be in a way that really resonates with the man that you truly are, and anything else, it's just delaying the inevitable. So that's it for me. Those are the three most important points that women want in a man.
Yeah, you know, I think women are going to pick up on inauthenticity for the same reason we would, because we've got a brain in our head, we've got some social skill, and we know when we're getting played. And when we as guys know we're getting played, I don't know why we would think that women would be oblivious to it, that they'd all be total airheads about it. It just completely escapes me. I think if you want the key word being a high-quality woman, just like you said so eloquently, Mirabelle, I think you've got to start treating women like the high-quality women you'd like to bring into your life. Then you may attract that kind of woman. Now, you talked about neediness and you talked about clinginess there, at least in passing. The first thing you said, and I made the mental note as soon as you said it, is we all want approval. I think the funny part there is, yes, we do all want approval, but if we look like we're trying to get approval, that makes members of the opposite sex, male or female, go, you know what, this person's not getting enough approval in life, so why doesn't this person get any approval? Probably because they don't deserve it. That's just the mental note we make when we see that happening before our very eyes with someone we're meeting. Meanwhile, if we're this amazing guy for women, we obviously have our lives together, we have a lot to offer, but we don't have to brag about it, we don't have to make sure she knows about it. It's just kind of like a quiet acknowledgement in your own life that you're going to be a great catch for this woman, so to speak, then that's when women start giving us approval because, ironically enough, we're not asking for it. And I think that's really, really powerful. And you also talked about the guy who's too available. Man, does that go for both genders also? As soon as this person starts being too present and too available in your life, you're thinking, well, you know what, maybe I could do better. And again, guys just need to kind of check in with their own mindset and say to themselves, what would I do if this was happening to me? If this woman was behaving towards me the way I'm behaving towards this woman? And I think so many guys realize this at the gut level, yet because they're selfish, because they want a certain woman in their life, because they're so obsessed with her, they just can't stop themselves from picking up the phone and calling her and doing these things that beg her to be with them. They have no self-control. They have no self-discipline. And it's that lack of self-discipline that really digs the hole deeper for themselves, because then they look like even less of a man who doesn't have a control over his own life, who doesn't have a plan. And that doesn't give women that all-important sense of safety and comfort, does it, Mirabelle?
Definitely not. You know, it's like that old saying, the hungry don't get fed. If you're trying too hard to get something from someone, most people will read that as a dead giveaway that you actually don't deserve it. You know, people like to follow authority, and most of us figure that you obviously are going to be the authority on yourself. So if you're acting in a way that seems strange and nervous and anxious and desperate to please, people are immediately going to start thinking, you know, what's the deal with this guy? You know, there must be something wrong with him. So again, it comes down to you, like you say, Scott, being the leader. You've got to set the precedent for how people are going to treat you by just kind of silently expecting a certain level of treatment. And I think you'll be surprised if you honestly believe that that's what you deserve. People are going to follow your lead, and women especially, because that's really what we want in a guy, is someone who obviously values himself and expects that kind of value from other people as well.
You know, it's kind of like that old adage, you train people how to treat you.
Yes.
So true. I have another question for you. This one might be one that puts you on the spot a little bit, but I'd love to hear your answer. What do women think guys want?
Uh-oh.
By the way, this is probably a trick question. Like I said, I'm putting you on the spot.
That is actually, it's a pretty big question.
I just really would love to hear your answer, because I would love to just compare notes.
It's been my experience that a lot of women tend to think that guys want exactly what they themselves are wanting. So let me explain kind of what I'm talking about here. I think women, and again, this is yet another human-specific issue, but from a female perspective, women kind of forget that guys are not necessarily being carried along by the same turbulent surge of emotions and chemicals and hormones that they themselves might be when they meet someone that they like. So that's when a woman will get into a dating situation with a guy, and she'll think that one thing is happening because, you know, that's what's happening inside her own head, and she won't even bother to even clarify the situation with the person that she's actually dating, because she's making presumptions that are based on the strength of her own feelings. So that's when you get situations like when a woman is dating a man and having sex with him, and she's just kind of tacitly expecting that exclusivity is now on the cards. And then she ends up getting a horrible surprise when she realizes that actually he was thinking something very different from what she was thinking. So I think that what women think that guys want is basically the exact same thing that what a woman is wanting in any given situation. In terms of like what actually women tend to think that guys want from a woman, I'd think first of all, most women are kind of holding themselves up to this physical ideal. They think that all guys want to have an extremely gorgeous, like the 10 out of 10 that everyone in the pickup community talks about. Guys want a 10. They wanted to have a, you know, a 0.7 waist to hip ratio. So I think that a lot of women are actually quite hung up on the looks thing. And then again, of course, there is actually a basis for that, because I think that it is quite important that you do demonstrate that you're able to take care of yourself and that you prioritize the way that you look and your appearance and just show that you kind of respect yourself, really. So it's really a two-edged sword. In terms of personality, that's more of a difficult one, actually. I think women think that guys want a woman who, well, let me put it this way. I've had kind of a flood of emails leading up to Christmas, and all these women are talking about going to visit their guys' parents, and they want to make sure they're giving the best impression, and they want to be as feminine quote unquote, as they possibly can be. And a lot of them have this kind of strange idea that being feminine basically means that you're kind of weak and sort of wimpy and kind of mealy mouth and you're not really sure what to do or say for yourself. And I think they've partially hit the nail on the head, because it's been my experience that, you know, men absolutely want a woman who knows how to be a woman. But if you're looking at it from the perspective that guys want some woman who's just like going to kind of cling onto their coattails and doesn't really know how to take care of herself and is basically similar to a small child, you know, that's absolutely looking at it the wrong way. So I think there's some work to be done there. But, you know, Scott, you were saying that you've got an idea on what, you know, women think guys want. And I actually really like to know what your take is now.
On what women think guys want?
Yeah.
I think women, a lot of women think guys are only about sex. And I talk to guys all the time who say, you know what, I really want the whole package. Yeah, I'd like to have a great sex life, but I'd also like to have a woman who treats me right. I'd like to have a woman who believes in me and believes in my goals. And usually, of course, these are very evolved guys. I also have guys who come to me, Mirabel, who have been wildly successful sexually with women in the past. I had one guy call me just last Friday who's been invited to the Playboy Mansion and who literally gets paid to sit around at bars and talk to women by the bar owners. Because he's just so
awesome,
attractive and winsome to all these women. He's just so charismatic. And he says, you know, I'm just sick of living this lifestyle. And I had a woman come into my life and she was completely different and completely caught me off guard. And I lost her because I didn't know how to run that relationship. And I think that's really, really amazing, because I do think that when a guy presents himself as this suave kind of player type, women go, well, all right, he just wants one thing. And even though women are sexual beings also, they don't want to be used, because like you said at the front end, women kind of see a sexual relationship as something that's a deeper, more emotional thing. And it's not that men don't ever feel like that. It's just there's this stereotype and probably this propensity for men to be able to be more casual about a sexual encounter.
Mm.
So I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that has a lot to do with how women see guys. I also think that certain bad guys come along and either mistreat or abuse women in certain ways. And it's very easy, even for us guys, when we've been abused or mistreated in some way by a woman, to start generalizing the entire race of members of the opposite sex as if they're like this person who did us wrong. And I think that's a mistake, but I tend to see women do that more. I tend to see them throw that blanket over the entire race of guys when they've been done wrong, like by a guy or two. It's not that guys don't do it. I just tend to see it a lot more often. So I would encourage women, you know, if they're listening, and this, of course, is a show for guys, but hopefully I'll get a lot of high fives from guys for what I'm about to say. I would encourage women just, you know, treat every new guy who comes along as an individual. We're not that bad guy who did you wrong. We're not an oppressor. We're not dragging our knuckles when we walk. If you meet a good guy, don't punish that guy for being some other guy. Treat him as a new person, as someone you're meeting for the first time. And, you know, we'll do the same for you. We'll give you a chance. I think that's what building new relationships and meeting new people is all about. But hopefully that answers your question.
Absolutely, yeah. And just while we're on the subject, I just thought to tell you that, you know, I really like what you said about how it's such a problem that people are kind of dragging around all this baggage and emotional luggage from the past. Yeah. And it's kind of poisoning the future and the present at the same time.
Sure.
Could not agree with you more on that one.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Mirabel, we're running out of time. I have a bunch of questions. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the Jim Cramer lightning round on you here, okay? I just want
right.
10 seconds on each one of these.
All right.
Okay, you probably have no idea who Jim Cramer is because you're in New Zealand, but it's probably not important.
Okay.
YouTube him. You'll find out who he is. He's a nut. He talks about finances. All right, so basically, I'm going to say something and give me your 15-second, 20-second view on it. Ready?
All right, ready.
Do women want to be approached by guys?
Absolutely. Yes, women want to be approached by guys, but we want to be approached in the right way, which basically means we want to be approached by guys who are good, like they're respectful, and who don't want us to do all the heavy lifting for them. So basically, a woman wants to feel like she doesn't have to help a guy to ask her out.
Okay, next one. How do women view approach anxiety?
Most women actually...
Are they going to help, or are they just going to sit there and let the guy suffer, or what?
As a matter of fact, most women literally don't even understand that such a thing even exists. You know, I got an email from one of my readers just the other day who was complaining that she's a professional model. Like, she is so hot that she gets paid for it. And yet she rarely, if ever, gets approached by guys. And the ones that do approach her are usually reduced to drooling monosyllables and have basically been conversationally hamstrung by her beauty, you know. Women don't get the fact that if they're attractive, or even moderately attractive, guys are often too afraid to approach him. We just don't even know that it exists.
Yeah, you know, Emily was completely oblivious to it. I'd known her for like a year and a half before I figured that out, and I just started busting out laughing. But she understands it very well now, having worked with a lot of people. All right, here we go. Next one. How do women really view, quote unquote, Mr. Nice Guy, Mirabelle?
This is a great one. Usually without so much as a hint of sexual interest or chemistry. And I think the easiest way to explain why this happens is simply because a guy who is making himself into a doormat, which is essentially what Mr. Nice Guy is, he's putting her first all the time instead of himself. He's really just not being a man. And as a guy, you've got to have demonstrable self-respect to truly exert your masculinity in a way that women are going to recognize and resonate with.
Great. Last one. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
You see this a lot in pickup artist sales pages and stuff like that. Are women really trying to keep guys from succeeding with them?
You know, to be perfectly honest with you, Scott, I don't even know what that means. Like, a woman...
Well, see, I was hoping you could explain it for me.
Right, a woman trying to keep guys from succeeding with them, I think in a word, no. I think women are trying to do everything they possibly can to help guys succeed with them. And as a matter of fact, I actually, you know, I truly believe this, and it's been my professional experience that upholds this belief as well. Women are incredibly hopeful and trusting, and we really just want to believe the best of you guys. So we're out there reading all these books, going to seminars, just like you guys are, to succeed with women. We're trying to do everything within our power to help guys succeed with us.
Yeah, you know, we get these emails from women. Emily answers them, of course, and Emily's got these programs for women on how to succeed. And we know. We know firsthand women would love to find a great guy, and we know all these guys out there who want to find a great woman. You know, we've pretty much decided that maybe someday we should start our own character-based dating site for all these great women and great men who want to get together. But anyway, powerful, powerful stuff. You know, I have no idea what it means when they say, are women trying to keep guys from succeeding with them either? But I think it has a lot to do with the fact that if a guy is thinking that a lot of women are trying to keep him from succeeding with them, he needs to pretty much look in the mirror.
Absolutely.
That's what I think.
I think that kind of belief is just bitter.
All right. I do have one more question for you, Mirabelle. What's up with you guys and Meet Your Sweet? I mean, that's a lot of little red hearts all over books for the guys market, don't you think? I mean, you know, Meet Your Sweet. That sounds like a woman's book to me.
Slade is going to love it that you said that when we originally decided on the title, which incidentally was not 100% in our hands. Slade got quite pissed off about it, and he spent a lot of time talking about how he was going to come up with variations on the theme. So I think the one that he's talking about right now is... I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this online, but it's beatyourmeat.com. So every
beatyourmeat.com.
Yeah.
I don't think you should go with that one.
It's not really a name for guys. I don't think this whole Meet Your Sweet thing, but nonetheless, it is the title that we've chosen, so I guess we're going to have to grit our teeth and stick with it from now on.
Yeah. Well, right on. Well, you know what? Sometimes really, really good information comes in interesting packaging, and I'll tell you, I went all the way through Fireworks of Females, and I don't usually do that. A lot of guys send me their products, and I'll kind of leaf through it and get what I need to know from it to know if I can endorse it or not. But I read that whole book. It was great.
Oh, that's good to know.
It sounded like something I would have written, which I really, really liked, but you guys had some really fresh insights. So guys, you need to go get your hands on that book, first of all, because it's like dirt cheap. Everybody else is charging thousands of dollars for things. And I think Meet Your Sweet is one of those companies. By the way, they're kind of aligned with Triple O Relationships. So if you've heard of How to Be Irresistible to Women and stuff like that, then it's the same organization. High quality stuff. They always give massive bang for the buck, kind of like we do. We work together a lot. This just being one other collaboration from many that we've done in the past and hopefully in the future. And if you guys want to get a hold of that book, I really couldn't recommend it any higher. It's www.thechickwhisperer.com/fireworks, plural. So go check out that book. Like I said, how much is it? Like $37 for the whole package with the MP3 bonuses and everything?
Yeah, $37, and you get a bunch of pretty high quality bonuses with that too.
Yeah, yeah, tremendous stuff, tremendous stuff. So thanks once again for joining us all the way from New Zealand. You know, every time I talk to you guys down there, it's always very encouraging. You know why?
Why is that?
Because I know tomorrow is going to come.
You're such an optimist, Scott.
I mean, because it's what, about 8 in the morning there? It's 3 in the afternoon here. But every time I talk to you guys, I always just know there's going to be a new day tomorrow. Because it's already happening for you.
You got to love it.
All right. Well, y'all enjoy your summertime Christmas. And Happy New Year to you also, Mirabelle.
Thank you, Scott. Same to you. And it's just been such a pleasure being on your show.
Okay. Well, right on. And likewise, always a pleasure to have you on too. And guys, if you're not on our newsletter, you need to go do that right now. www.the-leading-man.com. Check out the Leading Man program. Watch the 4 free videos. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, that couldn't be easier. +1 if you're outside the United States or Canada, 210-362-4400. That's 210-362-4400. It's as simple as this. Leave us a voicemail. Make sure it's relevant to this whole audience. Keep it concise. Make it clear. Play it on this program, and we send you free cool stuff. If you're on Facebook, go to www.deservewhatyouwant.com/Facebook. Join our page. You can also go to groups.to/freestuff and join the Facebook group where we hand out, get this, cool free stuff. And my personal profile is Scott-McKay on Facebook also. Another thing, if you're not on Twitter yet, you need to be. That's twitter.com, T-W-I-T-T-E-R. This is the most amazing way to meet high-quality women that I've seen in a long time. So go to twitter.com and get yourself a username, get yourself a password, and start Twittering. Actually, if you'd like another way to get on our newsletter, try twiduction.com. This is a brand new website I've got, T-W-I-D-U-C-T-I-O-N. There, you can download for absolutely free, F-R-E-E, my brand new ebook called Twiduction, How to Meet Women on Twitter. You can get it. I'll hand it to you right there. Just opt into the newsletter. It's all yours. The very next page, the book pops up. And that book is all about how to meet women on Twitter. If you've never been on Twitter before, it'll help you set up Twitter. So that's a freebie. Get you some. And also be sure to add me at www.twitter.com/SCOTMCKAY. And I will automatically follow you in return. And I've been talking to some of my fellow dating guru buddies up there, and it's been going back and forth, and we've been busting on each other, and it's a lot of fun. So you can join in on that. Speaking of joining in, the best way to get in touch with other guys who listen to this program and to get input from me and other people is absolutely positively to get on our forum. That's www.deservewhatyouwant.com/forum, F-O-R-U-M. That's about all the housekeeping I've got today. Until I see you again on episode number 27, gentlemen, this is Scott McKay from X&Y Communications. Be good.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2008 by the X&Y Communications Worldwide Media Casting Network. Be sure to sign up for the X&Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for The Chick Whisperer Podcast.